Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up?
Some of you going to sleep and you don't deserve to be. You don't deserve rest. You lazy. You don't deserve rest. Rest is for people who work. You ain't doing nothing. Every day you chilling. You need to know your why, and my why wakes me up every single morning. You don't get it. Listen to me very closely. You can write everything down if you want to. Be brave enough to write every one of your goals down. But I'm going to tell you something. Life's going to hit you in your mouth, and you got to do me a huge favor. Your why has to be greater than that knocked out. At the end of your feelings is nothing. But at the end of every principle is a promise. Find a man who's diligent at what he does, and he shall stand before kings and not mean men. Every day you say no to your dreams, you might be pushing your dreams back a whole 6 months. That one single day, that one day you didn't get up, could have pushed your stuff back I don't know how long. The first level to success in life, listen to me, the very first level, the very first level is you seeing it. Like it's clear to you. Like you know exactly what you want. You know exactly when you want it. Listen to me. You know exactly what it tastes like. You know what it looks like. You know what it smells like. Before you really blow up, and you get success, you literally have it in the palm of your hand without having it.
I didn't come here to make friends. I don't even care if they respect me. I know who I am. Got enough respect for myself. I do not want them to beat me.
They're never going to beat you.
They came close to that.
And I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now because I care about you. I'm telling you right now because I've been there. I've done that. You've been in it for 3 years and you're about to quit. You've been doing it for 5 years and it don't look like you think. You put all your money in it. You put all your time in it. People are looking at you crazy. 5 years you've invested. Oh, you put too much in it to quit now. And the problem with some of y'all is you want somebody else to support your dream. But this is my time. This is my moment. Tomorrow, ain't no such thing as tomorrow. What does your dream look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? If you want it to happen, get your butt up and make it happen. If you want it to happen, rise and grind.
And there you have it. And here you are, tuned in to The Recruit with Adrian Reese, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson. And that was a short clip from my man, Eric Thomas. For those of you who don't know, he's a great motivational speaker. You can look him up on YouTube or whenever you get a chance. But it's fitting with what we want to talk about today. But before we get into all that, we want to go to God in prayer and as always just welcome him into what we're doing in his name. So everybody who's tuned in, as you just bow your head, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you, God, for today. Thank you for right now, God. Thank you for this time, Lord, for this opportunity, God. I ask you for forgiveness, Lord. I ask you to forgive us all for our sins, knowingly and unknowingly, God. I ask you to strengthen us in you. Walk with us, God. Watch over this show. Watch over everything that's said, God, that you may be heard, God, and not us, Lord, not me, Lord, not Michonne, Father God, but you, God. Help all to come to know you better, Father God. Help those who don't know you, Lord, to surrender their life to you, Lord. Help someone to give their life to you on tonight, Father God. Help something to be said, to uplift, to encourage, Lord, to nudge them, Lord, to press in, Lord, to press towards you, Lord, and get to know you better, Lord, on an intimate level. We ask you to speak through us, Lord, and just do your thing, God, as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And like I said, just reiterating, that was my man Eric Thomas, a great motivational speaker, a powerful speaker with a powerful message. And what he was talking about is just waking up, rise, and grind. and just talking about waking up with that, with a purpose, with a why in the back of your head, knowing why you're doing what you're doing and what you're doing. And that's, you know, in the season of life that I'm in and that my fiance is in, that's something, that's a question that is kind of at the forefront of our minds right now. And, you know, I got in studio with me my beautiful fiance, Miss Michonne Taylor. Go ahead and say what's up, Michonne.
Hey, guys.
Wasn't that beautiful? But like I said, I got in studio with me, but just to, because we've been, a lot of people have kind of reached out to us and wanted us to kind of hit on the topic of purpose and purpose and giftings. And, you know, before doing all of that, me and Michonne, we were talking and just kind of thinking about, you know, before looking at my purpose as Adrian and her purpose as Michonne, you know, what is our purpose as human beings?
Yeah, and I think that I think it was a really powerful question that was posed, and we asked for some topics for this week, and a lot of us kind of in this age and stage, and I mean really in any age and stage of life, we're always searching for that purpose and searching for, you know, what God has gifted me with and what I'm here to do on this earth as an individual. And I, me and Adrian were just kind of talking, and I was just telling him, you know, I think we're kind of starting at the wrong place. A lot of times we'll start with our own image and our own self, and I think that really where we should start is who we are as human beings and what God created us to be as human beings. And even if we go to Genesis 1 and 26, we instantly see what God has already told us beforehand about who we are to be and who he originally created us to be as human beings. So Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I think that that's a huge point, because at the root of it all, at the heart of it all, before we get to who we are as male and female, before we get to who we are as individuals, at the heart of who we are as human beings and why God created us, it was to be his image bearers. It was to carry the torch of being like him, holy, set apart, bringing glory to his name. So anytime we drop the ball in our workplaces, anytime we drop the ball at school, anytime as Christians we drop the ball, we are really bringing dishonor to the image of God, which is our first and foremost purpose on this earth. And so that would be my answer to the first question, just kind of wanting to hone in on the idea of being image bearers of Christ as human beings first and foremost.
And this is exactly it, because, you know, I can speak for me personally so many times and thinking about asking myself, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? God, what is my gift? What should I be doing right now? What should I be doing in 5 years? You know, how do I get there? But everything has to go in order.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the first order of business, to understand why we as a whole, as human beings, are here and were created. And then from there, that's when it becomes more specialized to the individual,
mm-hmm.
as far as man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at men, you know, just me speaking from a man's perspective and just in reading God's word and what God says and calls men to be, is, you know, as a man, he's first supposed to submit to God, submit to God's authority.
Mm-hmm.
And he submits to God, a man submits to God's authority. And therefore, by him submitting and following Christ, he can lead.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the man's role is to lead and follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, you know, and what I mean by that is we set the tone of how to follow Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
As a man and as men. And, you know, we submit to God's authority, and then we love as Christ loves, you know, and whether that's our wife or That's what the Bible tells us to do, to love our wife as Christ loved the church, but also to love our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we submit to God's authority. We love as Christ loves, and then we protect and we provide.
Mm-hmm.
But those things can't come into play until we first submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they can come into play to a certain extent, but it won't reach its full potential of us providing in the way that we should, or the way that we desire to, or us protecting in the way that we desire to, if first of all we're not submitting to God. And that just really makes the scripture real in Matthew 6:33, where it says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the blueprint,
mm-hmm.
to first seek God, to first submit to God. And that's, you know, in my words, and just paraphrasing God's word, that's what the man's role is. That's what the man was created to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have an idea of what the woman was created to do and what God's word says about it, but I'm going to let Michelle speak on that.
So, yeah, I mean, as a woman, I say so often, I'm in this incredible Maria's community group, and we often talk about our purpose as women, and we hone in on God's word, and God's word expresses to us throughout the word that our purpose as women is to surround, to protect, to aid, and to help. And that first starts in our lifestyle when it comes to, if we're not married, that goes with our friends and with our family. And, you know, if we're not married yet, it goes along with men in our lives to surround them, to protect people, to aid them, and to help them. So at the heart of who we are as women, that's what we're called to do. So if, as human beings, we're called to be image bearers of Christ, and then as a man, we're called to be leaders and lovers like Christ loved the church. And then as women, we're called to surround, protect, and aid. We already have so much purpose in that. So we already have so much purpose before we have even gotten to the individual gifting. And so I see how easy it is for us to kind of get lost in the idea, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? But if we aren't first being image bearers of God, if we aren't first walking in holiness and righteousness in Christ's name, and then if we aren't second carrying that torch of being a male and a female, that and honoring him and who he's called us to be in our individual genders, then how are we to ask the Lord, okay, Lord God, what am I now supposed to do as an individual? We already have a blueprint of what we're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
first as human beings, and then what we're supposed to do second in our specific genders. And then it comes down to our giftings and our purpose and all of that afterwards. So.
And that's exactly it. It takes my mind to just the concept of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And us as believers, as Christians, we are a team. When we work together, we should be working together. But in any team, you can't know your designated role if you're not bought into the ultimate goal of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just looking at us as, before we can really hone in and tap into what our individual gift is, what my individual gift is as Adrian, I need to know what my purpose is as a man,
mm-hmm.
and what my purpose is as a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to go back and first submit to that,
mm-hmm.
to saying, just like Michonne said, not getting out of order.
Starting at
the root, mm-hmm. you know, of knowing, okay, what is the purpose of us all?
And I think that it's so easy, Adrian, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's so easy to begin to build your own kingdom if you start at you, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you start at who am I, and what, you know, people always say, search your heart, know who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're so busy searching ourselves instead of searching for the God in us, it's so easy to begin to build these little kingdoms
because
and start seeking our own kingdom instead of seeking the kingdom of God and bringing him glory, but instead seeking to bring our own self glory.
Yeah, because it's, like you said, it's starting and finishing with us.
Yeah.
If it's starting with us and built around us, then we're going to be the center of it all instead of it being the way God ordained it to be.
And I can relate to that. I think that for me, once I got out of college, and I mean, I know that a lot of people who are kind of getting out of college now or to be or, you know, were once in that stage of graduating, you know, you kind of start at you. You think about all those things that you're good at. So for me, I was like, okay, I'm good at administration. Okay, I'm good at speaking to people. I'm good at customer service. And so I tried to then build my brand of me, or I tried to build my own kingdom around, okay, Lord, you show me what these giftings are so I can take them and run and build my own kingdom apart from you. And so I've also, you know, fell victim to the idea that it's all about me and it's all about, and I don't think we do it intentionally. I don't think that we say, Lord, show me my purpose and start at me intentionally. I think that we just are kind of unaware in the beginning that God has already given us purpose, and he's already shown us that. Even if he hasn't necessarily shown us our individual gifting quite yet, he's already kind of shown us a good starting place. And even in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And I know for me, I am constantly seeking God's will, or constantly asking God, okay, God, what is your will for me? You know, what job should I take? Or should I go back to school? Or, you know, what relationship should I enter in before I got engaged? And
what
did you
say?
Before I got engaged.
Oh, okay.
And so I was always asking God, Lord, what is your will for me in this area or in that area? And my mentor, so graciously, like she always does, explained to me and a couple of my girlfriends, she said, you know, God's will is already revealed to us in his word. God's revealed will is that we rejoice, that we pray without ceasing, and that we give thanks. And so for us to go to the Lord and ask for him to reveal his unrevealed will, and we're not even walking in his revealed will, seems a little silly. If his unrevealed, I mean, if his revealed will is to rejoice, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks, and we're not even doing that, then why would we think that the Lord would want to reveal to us his unrevealed will? So I think that that is a great starting place, too, when we're looking for God to show us, because he did create us all individual. He did give us all giftings for his kingdom, to build his kingdom. And while we are looking for the Lord to show us different turns in life and what we're supposed to do next, or who we're supposed to encounter or befriend or whatever, we need to first focus on, okay, Lord, your revealed will for me is that I'm rejoicing always, that I'm praying without ceasing, and that I'm giving thanks. So now as I do that, please show me what you have for me to do in this specific situation, because I'm being a good steward over what you've already shown.
And that's it makes me think about like a job description.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's almost like God giving us our job description.
Mm-hmm.
To rejoice, to be grateful, to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's our job description. And so many, it's like we're not taking care of what our job is,
mm-hmm.
because we're trying to get ahead,
mm-hmm.
and do everything else,
mm-hmm.
outside of, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you said, we're not taking care of the things that we already know. We want to take care of the things that God hasn't shown us yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just like in our job description, so many times we're so busy trying to get ahead of the next person,
mm-hmm.
that we're trying to do their job,
yeah.
when it hasn't been assigned to us.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in Christ. It's the same thing in church. It's the same thing in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know what we're supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
but our eyes and our focus is on, okay, but they're not doing their job right.
Yeah.
But not realizing if we do we have to first take care of what God has prescribed to us,
mm-hmm.
and told us to do,
mm-hmm.
as individuals. And then once we take care of that, then we can help out in whatever way we need to help.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And I think that even in, to kind of wrap that little portion up, I think that when we're praying too, you know, in these different areas of life, I think that a lot of times we kind of try to get ahead of God, you know, our patience grows thin, and we, at least I know I have, I've tried to justify, okay, well, you know, this job pays more, so the Lord, you know, he wants me to have peace, and a little bit more money will give me peace, so I kind of justify my way into this must be God's answer, instead of really waiting upon him and knowing that God is faithful and that he is real and that, you know, he desires to be specific in our lives. You know, he desires for us to come to him and to wait upon him, and to receive that confirmation from him. And I think a lot of times we'll rob ourselves of that because we are so quick to move. Well, Lord, if you don't show me something, if you don't give me any peace, or if you don't do this right away, I may miss this opportunity. But I encourage everyone just to know how faithful our God is. And not only does he desire for us to pray, but he truly, truly desires to speak to us. And even in this relationship with Adrian and I, there has been so much prayer that has gone along with it. And you would, I know you would agree that there have really been no moves that we've made that have gone before prayer and really waiting upon the Lord to reveal what his will is for our lives together. I mean, because looking at you and looking at me, yeah, we're both Christians, and the Lord says don't be unequally yoked and all this stuff, but God is specific in each one of our lives and in our careers and in our purpose and in our spouses and in our relationships. He desires to be specific. So even if the Lord has shown us our gifting, say, for instance, my gifting is singing, or say, for instance, my gifting is, poetry. I don't know. But say, for instance, my gifting is one of those things. If I jump to that thing and then I don't look at what God has called me to be as a woman. So before God calls, in doing poetry, God has called me to surround, protect, aid, and help in doing poetry because I am a woman. And then because I'm a woman and I am a human being, in doing poetry, not only does he call me to surround, protect, aid, and help, but he calls me to bear his image in doing poetry. So it's kind of like starting at the beginning. I have to carry his image, and then I have to be who I am supposed to be in my gender. And then in my gifting, I am still to carry all of those things that he's called me to beforehand. But we can't skip to the end before we understand the root.
Right? Yeah, and that's exactly it, because just like you said, you can't skip to the end before understanding the root, because nothing can grow without a root.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing in us. We want to grow and we want to prosper and we want to bear fruit, but we don't even understand where our roots are, or we haven't even laid a foundation, or we haven't planted roots in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ bears fruit. Christ gives the increase in everything. That's what his word tells us. Only he can give the increase. And the only way that he can increase is that we are rooted and planted in him, in our purpose that he has given us. And, you know, and so many times, and like I say right now in my season because of where I am, but in so many ways, we all desire to know what is our gift. Like, God, what am I supposed to be doing? What is my gift? You know, is it, I can't sing, so it ain't that, or you think you can sing, but you really can't, but God, just make it plain. And in Romans 12:6-8, it kind of speaks on that. And it says, in Romans 12:6-8, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And that, you know, so much was said, so much is said in those three verses, because so many times just me personally, I get caught up, or I got caught up in looking at a gift as, you know, like singing, like Michonne said, something where, oh, well, I can sing, or like a preacher, his gift is preaching or speaking eloquently. But so many times overlooked in verse 8 is talking about encouraging, just simply encouraging others. That's a gift. That's a gift from God. Not everybody possesses that gift. Not everybody can talk to you and you feel encouraged and you feel inspired. But that's a gift. And giving, and it was talking about giving and giving generously. If you're in a position to where you don't know, okay, what am I supposed to be doing, but you're able to give, that's a gift from God, because he's placed you in a position to be able to give, and not only give, but give generously. And that's what we should do. And even showing kindness, mm-hmm. you don't have to have any amount of money to be able to be kind to people. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift that all of us should possess. But, you know, all of us don't, because I've met some unkind people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's a gift that's overlooked, mm-hmm. That's not viewed as a gift. It's just viewed as a trait.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, oh, well, this ain't no gift. God didn't give me this. But how many people do you know that are not kind?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's people that's not kind, then it must be a gift for God for there to be people who are kind. Mm-hmm. And it's that's something that God has really been making real me that I've been praying about here lately,
mm-hmm.
For God to just really reveal my gift to me. And that's one of the things they showed me, you know, just in talking to different people. When I talk to people, they tell me, you know, well, you know, that encouraged me, or that lifted my spirit, or that inspired me, that motivated me, whatever. And so in going back to that scripture and God's word, it shows me that may be one of my gifts,
mm-hmm.
is to encourage others. And after realizing and understanding what our gifts are, is just looking at where God has placed us. How do we use those gifts where God has already placed us?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just using me as an example, and me looking at encouraging others. In what way can I encourage others where I am right now, where God has placed me?
Mm-hmm.
I have a blog. I can use that to encourage others. I'm on a radio show. I can use that to encourage others. I have a job to where I interact with people. I can use that to encourage others. And it's just after in realizing, okay, this is a gift from God. Now let me use it. Let me put feet to my faith. And that's something that, you know, that may not be, that's not everybody's gift. Because the verse says in Romans 12:6 that God gave us all different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have the same gifts, but not everybody has the same gift. And so all of us have different purposes and are called to do different things.
And I love it too, because at the beginning of the verse, it says in his grace. And I'm loving that word, just because I haven't always understood grace. I haven't always understood what that means and why I need it. But in his grace, just like salvation, it's not something that we've earned. It's not something that we deserve, but because God loves us and he is gracious and he wants to do good for us, he gives us gifts, which means that there's no way we could have gotten them on our own. There's no way you could be a great encourager on your own. There's no way that someone who has the gift of kindness could have that on their own. And so there's so much beauty in that, just like there's so much beauty in salvation and being able to live a life that's honoring to God. And even in the Word, it talks about how God gives us the desire to even know him. God gives us the desire to even accept him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift. That's grace. And so just kind of looking at it in that same way is that God is just so gracious and so many gifts he gives us, even outside of our quote-unquote purpose. But I think that once we have our gifting, what do you think is next, Adrian, after talking about, okay, Lord, I've prayed about it. You've kind of shown me some things that I'm good at, or you've shown me some areas in which you established me for your kingdom so that I can bring you greater glory. What would be something else that may be important to do with that?
And going from there, once you understand and come to understand, okay, this is something I'm pretty good at,
mm-hmm.
and you look for different ways to apply it, to put feet to it, mm-hmm. put feet to your faith, because first of all, you're believing that that is your gift, that is something that God has gifted you in, so that is your faith. You're placing faith in that and just putting feet to it
mm-hmm.
and looking for ways to implement it. And in a lot of times we, and just for me personally, in looking, in understanding or coming to understand that, you know, I may have the gift, possess the gift of encouraging others. I was looking for ways to implement it, not realizing that I was already doing it
mm-hmm.
in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times I feel like a lot of us go through that or deal with that to where we're looking for ways to do it, not realizing that we're already doing it in so many ways because it is a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
It is what God placed inside of us. And we all know that what's in us is going to come out. And so if we realize we're an encourager, it's like we've already been doing it. That's why we realize.
And
so
do you think that the temptation is to, say, for instance, you the Lord revealed to you that your gifting is encouraging. Do you think that there's a temptation to overlook how you're already doing it and look for ways to do it, like on a larger scale? So, for instance, I find out that the Lord has gifted me in being an encourager. So now I want to go and build this huge ministry on my own, in my own strength. Not to say that that's not the Lord's desire for your life eventually, but as soon as I find out, I want to go out and put it on this grand scale instead of allowing the Lord to develop it gradually and take you where He wants to take you. Instead, God shows us one thing, and we try to hop in the driver's seat and say, okay, Lord, this is how I'm going to use it.
Yeah, and I think I think we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I say we, but I'm talking about me, you know, and realizing what I'm good at. I want to, of course, I feel like naturally I'm going to look at, okay, how can I do this for the world to see?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, rather than me saying, okay, how can I do this for the people I'm in contact with now that are in my circle now?
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I look at, okay, well, I need everybody to know
yeah.
now that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it is easy to fall into that. And it's easy to fall into it, but it's not us humbling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's us, like you said before, trying to, now that we know what our gift is,
yeah.
now we want to build a kingdom around that,
yeah.
around our gift, instead of realizing, hey, this is a gift from God.
Yeah.
We want
yeah.
to build it around us and around our gift.
Uh-huh.
And going forward in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to fall into it, and I think it's something that at one point I fell into.
I mean, we all do, and God is just faithful because He will humble us, and it'll be quick humbling, and we won't even realize it. It'll just be, you know, we'll get before a lot of people and we'll completely crash. Or, you know, when we go out and we try to do things out of our own strength for what God has given us, it's like, no, that's not what I intended. And even if that's what I intended, it's all about timing. It's all about what I have and in my timing, because it's not about you.
Yeah,
you know?
And Him opening doors, and that's something that, you know, I think that's kind of crazy just in thinking about it like that, you know, how we know and we see, we can see at times God opening doors for us.
Mm-hmm.
But and in God opening doors for us, when we step into those doors, everything, it makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everything easy because God opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
But the world constantly tells us to kick doors down.
Yeah.
Don't wait on open doors.
Yeah.
We need to kick doors down. And that's basically saying don't wait on God.
And that's the hard thing, because it's like a tug of war. It's like, if you're waiting upon the Lord, you're really praying and waiting on Him to move and waiting to hear from Him. It's like, on the other side, you're doing this in faith, you're standing in faith, you're waiting in faith, but then on the other side, you have the world calling you lazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and saying you're not driven and you're not about anything. And so,
you don't have any initiative.
Yeah, ambition, whatever. And so it's really, really tough as a believer to not even balance, but to stand on God's truth. And God's truth tells us to be faithful and patient and to trust that he's going to guide us, that he's going to lead us. And so I think that's why the temptation is so strong when God does show us one of our giftings is to pick it up and to run with it because the world tells us if we're not doing that, it's like, okay, Adrian, you've got this gift of encouragement. What you doing with it?
Yeah.
Why are you not moving? You know, and that's me. I can definitely say that's me all the way. I definitely have struggled with that and still do struggle with it. So I think that it's something for us to revisit as we pray and as the Lord begins to reveal himself in our lives, to be very intentional and adamant about seeking him and seeking his timing and really trusting in him that if he showed it to us and he said, this is what I have for you, that nobody is going to step in front of us and take it. Mm-hmm. You know, no one is going to go before, you know, God's timing is perfect timing. So I think that's the fear. If I don't move on it now, somebody might hurry up and, you know, pull the rug from under my feet. And God is like, no, you know, I'm cultivating you. I'm developing you. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing you so that when you do step out there, you won't crumble, but you'll stand on solid ground knowing that I led you to this.
And I think it's just like going back to the beginning of us being image bearers of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, our first thing in realizing, okay, what is my gifting?
Yeah.
My gifting is to encourage, or your gifting is to encourage, or whatever it may be. How did God use it? How did God encourage?
Yeah.
Because he is our image bearer.
Yeah.
And so in looking at how God encouraged, he didn't say, okay, this is something I do, so I'm going to put on an event,
yeah.
And I'm going to bring all these people to me.
Yeah.
It came naturally. When the opportunity presented itself, when the door opened, when the masses followed him, that's when he encouraged.
And that's the thing, is that he did it in small increments. The Lord didn't work he did work in massive miracles, but through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then the masses followed him, but he didn't go out there and say, okay, I got to put on this huge event in this big auditorium. It was literally through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to say, okay, now that I know I have this, I got to go out here and put on this big conference. No, be impactful in your area, in your community, in your family, in your friendships, because
the
word will spread, and the Lord has called us to bring people to himself, you know, to lead people to himself. And a lot of times the way people aren't always led to Christ through a conference because it's not personal,
mm-hmm.
but people are often led to Christ in your personal day-to-day relationships because every day you're touching them at the gym,
mm-hmm.
because every day, you know, you're touching them in the schools, at that accounting firm, whatever, you're touching them, and so daily they're coming to know Christ. So when you're doing it that way and you're allowing the Lord to build it, it really is about him and leading people to him as opposed to getting this coliseum of 2,000 people so that everyone can see me, but I'm not really concerned if people know Jesus better or not.
Mm-hmm. And that's the ultimate goal. That's the root.
Yeah.
It is not for us to draw praise or draw glory or draw fame for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but all we're doing is just telling people about Jesus, leading people to Christ,
mm-hmm.
leading people to Christ. He's not saying, come follow me. He's saying, hey, let me show you the God. Let me show you the Christ.
Because we're
going to
fail.
We are. We're bound to fail because
yeah.
the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short.
Yeah.
And, you know, all includes all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's never been a perfect human being except Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He came and he was tempted,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he is the image bearer. He's the mirror that we are to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he did in encouraging, he did it naturally when the time presented itself. Even in running into anybody, in running into the woman at the well, and he encouraged her and he gave instruction
mm-hmm.
in doing that and went on about his way and went on and encouraged somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And when he prophesied not saying, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go here and I'm going to go prophesy today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just in doing it, in living his life and in walking in what his Father, God, created him to do and sent him to do, he just did it along the way.
And I think someone once told me the reason that Christ was so effective in his ministry here on earth is because he did only what the Father instructed him to do.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many people to be healed. There were so many people to be ministered to. There were so many people to be touched. but he touched those who God told him to touch. Mm-hmm. He ministered to those who God told him to minister to. And so if we go out there and we try to go in our own strength and save the world and do all of this apart from Christ, that's why we will tire ourselves out. We've done it before. I know I have. Tire ourselves out, feel faint at heart, and ultimately crash and burn because we're not asking the Lord, Lord, show me this divine appointment that you've called me to because I'm a part of a larger body. And if I don't hit that person, another one of your children will. Mm-hmm. If I don't hit this group, another one of your children will. But I just want to be about what you're telling me to be about.
And just like you said, it's following the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And all Jesus did was obey the instructions of his Father. And in doing that, he trained 12 disciples
to go out and do the rest of the work.
And just like you said, you know, Jesus didn't touch everybody. He didn't literally talk to everybody face to face. He didn't heal everybody, lay hands on everybody himself. You know, Peter is one of my favorite people in the Bible. I love his faith and his boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And just in studying up on him, he performed so many miracles of healing, mm-hmm. walking on water, and all of these things that happened, raising people from the dead,
mm-hmm.
you know, done through Peter because of the Holy Spirit that was within him.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus wasn't there with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that Jesus was his mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was his mentor, the one that he surrounded himself with, the one that he looked up to, that he modeled and emulated.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he saw, oh, this is how Jesus did it, but the reason why Jesus did it is because he followed instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So I see how Jesus did it and why Jesus did it, so I'm going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he was able to reach further,
mm-hmm.
and the message was all the same.
Mm-hmm.
The root of it all was all the same. It's all bringing glory to God. It's all bringing glory to our Father. But it was just done and taught from God giving instructions to Jesus. Jesus giving instructions to his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And not just giving instructions, but walking.
Yeah.
Living it.
Yeah.
And the disciples, they did the same.
Right.
And it just goes down and down and it's passed down. And that's what we are called to do.
Yeah.
We're not just called to believe, but to walk.
Right.
To put peace in our faith. And so many times, you know, in, like we talked about in understanding our gifts, we, you know, another step in really fulfilling and walking in our gifts is to seek out people who are already walking it, people who have similar gifts, and they're doing it and they're successful at doing it, you know, and those are mentors,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of times we look at mentors as someone who has to literally be in our presence physically, but that's not always the case. You know, if I want to be successful in business and be a millionaire, I go Google Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
I read his bio.
Mm-hmm.
I read his autobiography. He's not literally there telling me, you know, in person what to do, but I'm looking at his example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mentor to me, even though he's not there in the physical sense of it. But mentors are so important because that's what Jesus was to the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are to use as a model.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to take this time for anybody out there who is seeking a true mentor,
mm-hmm.
who is seeking to do things God's way and who doesn't know or doesn't understand their purpose,
mm-hmm.
Their purpose, their God-given purpose. But this is a time to where I just want to offer this time for you to accept Christ into your life, for you to surrender your life, your all to Christ and follow instructions and allow him to be the mentor that you look up to, that you emulate your life after. And so if anyone out there is listening and you want to accept Christ into your life now or you feel that you've stepped away from Christ and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, so I ask you just to repeat this prayer with me. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. And I just want to be the first one to congratulate you and welcome you to the team.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. And like I said, in order to, like we talked about gifts and about purpose, in order to, before you can really understand your role, you have to know and understand the purpose of the team. And so we know that in you joining the team, the purpose is to give glory to God, to honor God. And in doing that, the prayer that you just said is your verbal commitment. Is you telling God, saying yes to that, saying yes to following Christ, but we put you put feet to it by the life that you live every day, the life that we live every day. I can sit here and say, you know, I believe and I'm a follower of Christ, but what is my life saying? What is my day-to-day walk saying? And that's what God calls us to do, to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's literally what it means, walk it out. Walk it out. Do follow instructions. Follow his, emulate his role, and because he is our role model, he is our mentor. And, you know, I'm just excited for everybody who just accepted Christ or for all of those who came to a better understanding of your purpose and your gifts and who you are, and just know that there is value in you.
Mm-hmm.
God creates nothing of no value. Everything he does, everything that God, I'm trying to think of the verse, but it, my mind's going blank right now. But everything that God created is good, and he created us. So all of us are good. We're valuable. We're worthy. We're worth so much. And once we realize that, then we can really walk in that, and others can build off of that.
Follow us while we're following Christ.
Follow us while we're following Christ, exactly. And just like Michelle said, following us and following Christ, because first of all, we are to be true followers of Christ. We can't lead if we don't first know how to follow. And, you know, this show is a definition of, or an example of something that I had to do and step out on faith, because I've never done anything like this, never wanted to, but the door was open. And Pete Richardson asking me to do the show. And the only reason he asked is because I was following instructions and obeying and being obedient and doing my blog. And so many times, it's just an example of me putting feet to my faith, having to really step out on faith. And all of the times we're not going to know. Most of the time we're not going to know. That's why I call faith, leading without seeing. But, you know, I just want to thank Michonne, my helpmeet, you know, which is what the Bible calls our wives, and that's what she truly is to me. She is my helpmeet. She helps me in meeting God's purpose that he's given to me. And I just want to thank her for being in studio tonight and being with me and just helping and serving and walking in her gifting. And so
And I'm glad to be here. I'm definitely glad to be here, definitely excited to welcome all of those who join the body of Christ on tonight, and I just encourage everyone who is listening, and especially those who are new believers and are kind of going into the idea, okay, Lord, I've accepted you, now what? Just focus on being an image bearer of God, you know, focus on that, focus on rejoicing, focus on giving thanks, focus on praying without ceasing, focus on seeking righteousness and peace and joy, and knowing that those things are the will of God first and foremost. And as you begin to do that, the Lord will open your eyes to your giftings and wait. You know, the Lord, I mean, the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so the Bible calls us to wait and to be patient and to know that the Lord is faithful to speak to us and to show us. I know that one of my favorite pastors always says, you know, it would be a terrible tragedy to get to the end of life and realize that you were climbing up the wrong ladder. And a lot of times we do that, you know, we spend so much time and effort climbing up these different ladders, whether it's, you know, the ladder of a career or the ladder of self-promotion or the ladder of financial stability or whatever it is, but the Lord at the end will say, you know, I had a life that was so much more gratifying for you. I had a life that was so much more beautiful for you, all written out, but you chose to build your own kingdom. You chose to seek your own glory, your own success. And, you know, we're definitely not saying don't seek success and don't be driven, but we're just saying, you know where to start, know where the root is, know that success without God in it is nothing. So allow that to be our testimony, is that we seek God first and allow him to build upon our lives whatever he desires. So glad to be here, always excited to be a guest.
And how would anyone reach out to you if they had any questions? Any females out there had any questions about their purpose or how the advice? How would they reach you?
You can definitely reach me by email, MichoneTaylor@gmail.com. Again, that's Michonne, MichoneTaylor, Taylor, TAYLOR, @gmail.com. And I'm also on Instagram @itsmeMichonne.
What?
I'm on Instagram @itsmeMichonne. So definitely reach out, contact me if you have any questions or anything like that. I'm more than excited to be of help as I can.
And, of course, you already know how to get in touch with your boy. You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram @soul_fisherman, @soul_fisherman. You can look me up on Facebook, Adrian Reeves, or email by email, Adrian@AdrianReeves.com. That's Adrian@AdrianReeves.com. If you have any questions, suggestions, anything that you, ideas that you may want to hear or see on the show, just hit me up. And like my man Eric Thomas said at the beginning of the show in a short quip, he kept reiterating to rise and grind. Rise and grind. But you can't rise and grind if you don't know what your purpose is. You don't know why you're here. And the only way you can know that is truly find your identity in Christ, because Christ calls us to be the light, to be a light in this dark world. So I wouldn't even say rise and grind, but to literally rise and shine. And so till next time, you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reeves and Ms. Michonne Taylor. But we'll be back same time next Thursday. Tune in, lock in. You've been tuning to The Recruit, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to my man PDP Richard. And until then, be blessed and be real.